What happened to the king of Hamath and the king of Ephrath? What happened to the kings of Zarephath? And goes on and on. After Hezekiah received the letter and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and spread it out before the Lord. Now, if we had a few kings like this today, huh? If our men in government was like this, we would be a whole lot better shape than instead of them trying to run the show, if we'd say, okay, God. But you'll see Hezekiah's got a few problems too. Okay, verse 15 and 16, let's go ahead. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. O Lord God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. Now that's a good start. When you got that much knowledge, you begin to understand who this God is. Just a little bit. Now Hezekiah don't know him very well either, but he knows a little bit about him. Listen to me, O Lord, and hear. In other words, he's demanding God listen to him. Listen, Lord, I got a problem down here on earth. I need you to hear me. Open your eyes, Lord. Well, I got news for Hezekiah. God's eyes ain't never closed. They're always open. And see, listen to Sennacherib's words of defiance against the living God. He's trying to get God's attention. And obviously he is. Okay, verse 17 and 18. It is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria have destroyed all these nations, just as the message says. And they have thrown the gods of these nations into the fire and burned them. But of course the Assyrians could destroy them. They were not gods at all, only idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. Now, if you're trying to read all this along with me in the King James, you'll have to sit down and meditate on this to get all this. But it's exactly the same. Take it at my word. It is. Verse 19 and 20. Now, O Lord, our God, rescue us from his power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone are, O Lord, our God. Now, wait a minute. Now, O Lord, our God, rescue us from this power. And then all the nations, all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone, O Lord, are God. Now, why do we ask God to do these great and mighty things? So we want everybody to know that he's God, right? I'm going to tell you for sure, when I went to Manny, Louisiana here a few years ago and I laid hands on Johnny Brumfield, and I asked God to give Johnny two new knees, and God give that man two brand new knees right there in that presence. If you hadn't seen that DVD back there and seen that testimony of Johnny, we've had that on GLC, and it was on there for a week, four, five, or six times during the week. And Johnny Brumfield was right there. When you see a miracle like that, don't you ever let me back off and say I had anything to do with that. I got to pray the prayer of faith. That's all I had. That's all I got to do. God did all the rest. And he is the one still, to this day, sustaining Johnny Brumfield. That man had been in ICU for 30 days and had not walked a step in 21 months, and the doctor told him he'd never walk again. And after one little, tiny, short, 30-second prayer, this guy's completely healed. And he's got two brand new legs. Now, I guess I did that, huh? Oh, let me take all the glory for that. Not on your life. I enjoy living too much. I don't want to die today. I enjoy living, so I'm going to say, okay, Lord, you did all that. I didn't do nothing but pray the prayer of faith. Because, see, he wants them to know that God is God, right? Because that's what he wants to do. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent this message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer about King Sennacherib of Assyria. I've heard your prayer. Okay, verse 21 and 22. This is the message that the Lord has spoken against him. The virgin daughter of Zion despises you and laughs at you. The daughter of Jerusalem scoffs and shakes her head as you flee. Whom do you think you have been insulting and ridiculing? Against whom did you raise your voice? At whom did you look in such proud condescension? It was the Holy One of Israel. So when we're doing all these things, we're making fun of God. I mean, and God didn't like it, did he? No, he didn't. Verse 23 and 24. By your message, you have mocked the Lord. I mean, this is dangerous stuff when you start mocking God, tell him he don't exist, amen, and all this kind of stuff. You have said, with my many chariots, I have conquered the highest mountains. Yes, the remotest peaks of Lebanon. I have cut down its tallest cedars and its choicest cypress trees. I have reached its farthest corners and explored its deepest forests. I have dug wells in many a foreign land and refreshed myself with their water. I even stopped up the rivers of Egypt so my armies could go across. Man, this guy, this king, this army general, he was something else, wasn't he? He was something else back in those days. Okay, verse 25 and 26. But have you not heard? It was I. Now, whoa. Listen to this. But have you not heard? It was I, the Lord, who decided this long ago. Long ago I planned what I am now causing to happen, that you should crush fortified cities in the heaps of rubble. Who was behind this king sending rip?
God.
Isn't it something that he's causing him to do this, and this guy don't even know he's doing it for God? He don't even know who God is. He's not giving him no glory or nothing. What's he doing? He's taking the glory, right? That is why their people have so little power and are so easy prey for you. They are as helpless as the grass, as easily trampled as tender green shoots. They are like grass sprouting on a housetop, easily scorched by the sun. Why are these people a knockout for this king? Because God is there doing all this because of their sin. He is taking control. He is behind this whole thing. And this guy don't even know it. It's amazing how little we know. Next two verses. But I know you well. I know you well. Do you think God knows you well? Yes, he does. But I know you well, your comings and goings and all you do. I know the way you have raged against me. And because of your arrogance against me, which I have heard for myself, I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your mouth. I will make you turn by the road on which you came. You know, this is scary stuff, isn't it? You stop and think, who is in control? God is. Whether you know him or not, he's in control. The next two verses. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, here's a proof that the Lord will protect this city from Assyria's kings. This year you will eat only what grows up by itself, and next year you will eat what springs up from that. But in the third year, you will plant crops and harvest them, so you will tend vineyards and eat their fruit. And you who are left in Judah, who have escaped the ravages of the siege, will take root again in your own soil, and you will flourish and multiply. Now, I like that part. You don't even have to plant. I mean, it just comes up, and man, next year is a new crop. You don't have to sow. It's just going to come up. I mean, can God do all this?
Yes.
Yes, he can. So why are we worried about everything? Next two verses. For a remnant of my people will spread out from Jerusalem, a group of survivors from Mount Zion. The passion of the Lord Almighty will make this happen. And this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. His armies will not enter Jerusalem to shoot their arrows. They will not march outside its gates with their shields and build banks of earth against its walls. I mean, these guys are going to get in. They have overcome everything. You got to remember, when these guys are building banks of earth to come over something, they didn't have bulldozers and things to do it. They did it by hand. But they can do this. They did some pretty awesome, powerful things. Okay, the next few verses. The king will return to his own country by the road on which he came. He will not enter this city, says the Lord. Now, if you got a real prophet and he's making his statement, you're safe, aren't you? For my own honor and for the sake of my servant David, I will defend Jerusalem. Now, is God going to defend you today if you're his child? If you're walking in obedience to his word, he will. Verse 35 and 36. That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed... How many angels? How many men did that angel kill? Me. Now, if one angel went out and killed 185,000 Syrians, A.A., you and me probably don't need but a half a dozen of them guys to protect us. Isn't that something? And we stand in fear because we don't know the power of the invisible world that we cannot see. But that night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian troops. When the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. Then King Sennacherib of Assyria broke camp and returned to his own land. He went home to his capital of Nineveh and he stayed there. Verse 37. One day, while he was worshiping in the temple of his god, Nisroch, his sons killed him with their own swords. They then escaped to the land of Ararat, and another son became the next king of Assyria. Who killed the guy? His own children. Isn't that something? Let's go to chapter 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. What? Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. There's the curse causeless cannot come to rest. Is that what that said a while ago? Why is Hezekiah, this great king, this king that prayed before God, a king that inquired of the prophet and all these things? Hey, he's a good king. But in these days of this problem, he's sick unto death. He's not old. He's young. Hezekiah is a young man. Why is he sick unto death? You ever stop to think about these kind of things? When somebody, now that's a Christian, gets sick unto death, do we ever stop to think, why? You know, most people never do. Most people never even ask the question, when I'm sick or afflicted, why? How many of you have ever stopped to think, why have you been sick, or why have you been tormented, or why can't you get rid of devils? Let me ask you a question, or let me make a statement while we're right here. What happened? We went off there? I guess we'll be right back. But let me ask you a question. Back when I was flying an airplane, commercially, I still fly airplanes, praise the Lord, but when I was flying a commercial airliner and something went wrong, I always wanted to know what happened. You know, that's just like one night, one day, we took off from Dusseldorf, Germany, down to, somewhere in Spain. I forget where we were going. It's been so many, 40 years ago since I did this. We're flying along there, 37,000 feet. Everything's going good. I'm looking at all the gauges and everything all over the airplane. Everything's going good. And all of a sudden, a red light came on the forward panel. Fire bottle fired. I looked up at the pressure gauges overhead for the pressure in those bottles. And on that right number 3 engine, they were both zero.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.